Please rise. Join me in the salute to our flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. May be seated. Our deputy clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hanson.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodman.
Here. Okay, Councilperson Mutchler is in Portland. He's requesting absence. Moved and seconded by Councilperson Hanson. So moved by Councilperson Ingram, seconded by Councilperson Hanson. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 6-0. Okay, next up is the consent agenda.
Excuse me.
I was thinking about your going right to you. We have a change in the consent agenda. This is the public comment period. This is for period members of the audience to come speak to the council. Anything that's not on tonight's agenda. Anything that's not on tonight's agenda, we'd like you to say your name. Address is optional and limit your comments to 3 minutes. So would anyone like to come forward? Right there. Welcome. Go ahead.
Jensen, thank you. Esteemed Council, Ferndale citizens. Thank you for this opportunity to share the experience I have had in your town. I own the grow shop. 5 years ago, my husband, what's that?
You are?
Vika Thompson.
Okay.
Sorry. My name is Vika Thompson, and I own the grow shop. 5 years ago, my husband, two kids, and myself moved there to complete Jesse's cancer treatment and open an organic gardening store. We found a dirty, abandoned squat. The yard was filled with debris from years of neglect. Inside, I cleaned up after the worst of human behaviors. As the years progressed, we became increasingly popular for our down-home kindness and generosity. I planted flowers and fruit trees, and I made a safe place for families, gardeners, and sick folks to meet and share the wonderful, healing, helpful plants that God has given us. I learned to process marijuana into potent medicine that cures cancer and eases pain and suffering. People begin to bring in extra medicine to share with those in need. We lifted ourselves up and poured generosity into this community. It was shut down. I don't have much time, but Ferndale City Planners led me to believe that I could conduct my legal, life-saving, not-for-profit business in a different, appropriate zone in the city. I went about the work of location selection only to hear that Ferndale bans medical marijuana access points. My understanding is that such a big decision affecting so many citizens should go through the proper process of public input. If there is no ban, please treat me with common decency and approve an application for a legal access point. The Washington State Senate recently passed a bill to take effect 15 months from now, in July of 2016, if the governor signs it. In the meantime, Ferndale is knowingly hurting the weak and the sick, the least of these among us. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you.
Are we going to, I mean, is that true?
What's that?
We didn't ban medical marijuana, did we?
Yes.
No. No.
Okay.
No, that wasn't the reason.
One.
You can get more detail that from our planning department. Okay, anyone else would like to come forward and speak? Anyone else? Anyone? You look like you're ready, sir.
No, never.
Welcome, sir.
You have to coach me.
Welcome, sir.
Yeah. Papa John, I live in Malloy House, 6072 Malloy Avenue, and I have, first of all, my horizontal things, my fun punch things are really kind of lame. But yeah, I've got more than, I got like 7 of them, so pick out the worst, best of the worst, okay? And then I have some food for thought afterwards, so. Where do dodo birds fly for the winter? And the answer is they don't because they can't fly. Did you hear of the rumor about the beast that terrorized Florida? Turned out to be nothing but a croc. What has a broom and flies? The answer is a very smelly janitor. What do you get when you cross Bambi with a ghost? And the answer is bamboo. Did you hear about the two mind readers who met on the street? The first said to the others, "Well, you're fine. How am I?" And what do you do to keep a corpse from smelling? The answer is nothing. They can't smell. And one more. How do you keep an elephant from charging? Take away his credit card. Yeah. I'm waiting for a response. I figured somebody would respond. All right, now the food for thought thing, and this is meant to be serious, of course. You can spend your life doing anything you like, but you can only spend your life once. So the question is for all of us, on what or whom are you spending your life? A second thought, your affections are you. Your affections are your destiny, and what you truly love determines where you will spend eternity. Food for thought. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else for the public comment period? Anyone else? You want to try? Okay, come on forward.
You want to try? You want to say something? For that, we're really going to help you out here. We'll hold it just so you can talk into the microphone. What's your name?
Jerry. My name's Jerry.
You're doing good.
You're doing good. It's okay.
What would you like to say?
I don't know. Someday I'm going to be in charge of this place.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I help you? What would you like to talk about?
He has a joke. Ask him about parks. You know that's your favorite.
It's tough. They're all, none of those people will bite you.
No. We're all harmless.
How old are you, Jerry?
Five.
Wow. You're tall for five.
And I have my birthday.
On your birthday, you're going to be six. Okay, that's great.
Oh.
What after that? Probably seven.
Future plumber.
Okay, now did you want to say anything? You came up, did you want to say anything to anyone? Or you can say anything you'd like, within reason, I guess.
Hey, if John can do it, I mean,
you want to think about it? You can come back anytime after you think about it.
Okay.
Okay.
We're here all the time.
Okay.
Bye.
Well, thank you for coming up.
That was very brave. Good job. Good job. I haven't talked to the high schoolers who won't come up.
Okay, anyone else? Try to top that one. No? Okay. Would you like to speak? Sure, come forward.
Sure.
You're more than welcome to. But that's a tough one to top.
Well, if Jerry cannot.
Welcome.
My name is Cleo Sutton. And my friend is Vic at the grow shop. And I just wanted to share the good healing she brought in my life, her family. And wanted to ask you to think about that support that she does for people like me. I went through some PTSD and suicide and ugly stuff in my life, and I didn't want to use hard drugs to erase those memories, and I learned through the right medicine, the right seeds. I've been educated by them. They're true family. They're true brothers and sisters. And I just want to ask you to help honor Mother Earth's great seed. It's a miracle seed for me. And I'm thankful I'm alive and here today.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Moving on, we have the consent agenda for you, and I'll go to Councilperson Goodrich first.
Yes, I'd like to remove the approval of the Cherry Tree Trail name from the consent agenda.
Now, you would like more information on that, so should we refer it back to staff for a staff report?
Well, I just, there is no documentation in the packet for what this is, where it is, what the name is, and yet it's on the consent agenda to approve. So, just because of the...
So, if shall we put it back on the agenda, just a separate item, and discuss it, or go back
can
to
we
staff?
Refer it to... May we refer it to committee because the Arts Commission would like to research that further. I just talked with Marla. And
okay.
We would like to refer it back to committee if that's all right.
So pull that off and put approval of Cherry Tree name to committee.
Right.
Okay. The deputy clerk has that. Okay, so the rest of the
that was my fault,
agenda.
Counsel. I apologize.
I move that we accept the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Okay, moved by Councilperson Burst, seconded by Councilperson Hansen. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries 6-0. Okay, this is Poem in Your Pocket Day in Ferndale. So I have a mayor proclamation to read and again a poem to read. I know that some of you come just for this entertainment. City of Ferndale, Mayor Proclamation. Whereas the Academy of American Poets established the month of April as National Poetry Month in 1996, and whereas throughout history, poems have been tucked into pockets for commonplace books, the Renaissance into pocket-sized books in World War II, and whereas in partnership with the New York City Department of Cultural Affairs and Education, lots of people would like to come in. The Office of the Mayor launched a Poem in Your Pocket Day in 2002 as part of the city's National Poetry Month celebration, and whereas in 2008, the Academy of American Poets took the initiative national, encouraging nationwide participation of individuals by open readings from poems in their pockets. Now, therefore, I, Gary Jensen, Mayor of City of Ferndale, do hereby proclaim Thursday, October 30th, 2015, as Poem in Your Pocket Day in Ferndale, Washington. I call upon all public officials, educators, librarians, businesses, and citizens of Ferndale to participate in Poem of Your Pocket Day as innovative and joyful celebration of the unparalleled wealth of poetic language is written, read, and shared. So I happen to have a poem in my pocket. For some of you, it would be very appropriate. It's called Wavy by Shel Silverstein. I thought I had wavy hair until I shaved. Instead, I find that I have straight hair and a very wavy head. Okay, any other councilmen have poems in their pocket today?
It's April 30th.
That's true.
Yes, so I have
right,
10
well,
days
there you go.
To find a poem.
Okay.
Did you say April or October? You said October.
No, I said April 30th.
Yeah. It's April 30th. Yeah.
Hopefully I said that. Okay, capital projects update, and we'll hear from Katie Beck. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hello, Council. So I've got the list of projects that we've been working on. So Church Road kind of hibernated for the winter, and we're back. Paving is now done. We spent about 3 days paving Church Road. Heather Drive was the last remaining piece that needed to be done, and that was done today. The crews are still on site, so the road's closed. They're working to raise all the manholes, gate valve boxes, and that sort of thing. So walking builders will be back tomorrow to place asphalt around those. As soon as the road is available to the striping crew, they'll get out there and paint the stripes, and we'll open the road back up. So we had a little bit of a weather delay last week, so I'm anticipating if things go well. I think we're expecting a little rain later in the week, but we should have the road open by Thursday. Perfect weather is assumed. So probably by the time that we do our next capital project update, we'll be able to come back and let you know how much money we spent and all that sort of stuff. Just a reminder that the city did actually receive our $220,000 back that we had thought we had kind of lost from our Fed grant. So that was a nice sort of windfall. Anyway, that's my update for Church Road. If anybody has any questions.
Questions for Katie? No? Okay. Councilperson Ingram?
I'm sure it probably has fallen through the cracks since we lost our public works, official public works director type person. We were told months ago that while we had that person here that they were going to do a dig out and repair the center of the intersection at Church and Thornton where it's crumbling and collapsing because of all the trucks turning left there and the school buses, and it's just getting worse. But now that we're paved, they were going to try and do that while they were paving. And now that the paving's done, I just guess I'll just write that off for another 10 years.
Well, to answer that, the funding that we have set up for Church Road is very specific. We have project limits, and our project limits are from just a little bit north of Heather to Main Street. So unfortunately, we wouldn't be able to tag on to the existing Church Road contract without risking our funding. So, but the possibility always exists that we can do it as a separate project.
Okay, next.
Next is what we call Gateway Mainstream South drainage, which is basically we're putting in the 36-inch stormwater pipe between Bob's Bowling Alley and the old Cost Cutter. So that work is ongoing. If you remember, you guys gave us authorization to go ahead and award that project. The cost came in very reasonably. So we are installing 400 feet of the 36-inch storm from La Bounty to Main Street. Actually, they start on the Main Street side, and they're working their way south. The main line's pretty much done. They've got 1 day's worth of work left to do. They're probably within 75 to 100 feet of their endpoint. We do have one catch basin between the bowling alley and Bob's that we have to tie into that system, so that'll be done tomorrow, the day following. We have made a commitment to the property owner there that we would get that work done by May 1st so they can accommodate their new tenant, and we're still on schedule for that. So I don't know if anybody has any questions about that project.
Questions? What was this? So you're upgrading 36-inch. What was the size of the pipe before?
The existing pipe was private, and it's 18-inch concrete pipe.
So 18 to 36.
Yes.
Good.
And then that will be extended in the future to tie in the La Bounty storm system. Right now it'll just be capped at La Bounty. It won't be tied in. Just the parking lot will be tied in. Next on the list is the Sterling Sewer Project. And that's where we're going to replace an existing sewer main that's pretty old between Washington and Guinevere Street on Sterling. Our plans are to start that work next week, a week from today, on the 27th. We did mail out notices to the property owners that were kind of within a stone's throw of the proposed project, so they're aware of the work. Sterling will remain closed during the construction. Monday, we'll have to reduce Washington Street to a single lane alternating traffic. They've got to do some work there at the manhole, and it's going to be out in the middle of Washington Street, so there's some traffic control that's going to occur there. We'll send out notices to all the emergency services letting them know that that work will be occurring. And I know that WTA goes through there and all that stuff. So moving forward on that one. Anybody have any questions about that project?
No, thank you.
All right. Next on the list, the house demolition. So this is the house that the city bought some years ago at the corner of Vista and Washington, which includes asbestos abatement, the house and basement demolition, backfill of the basement, and capping of the utilities. The work was awarded on April 6th, and we had a pre-deconstruction meeting, I guess you'd say, today. Talked to the contractor. They have the abatement contractor, their sub, scheduled to come in on May 20th. And so once that occurs, then they'll get in there and tear the house down. So that should be completed by the end of May. Should take about a week to tear it down. Anybody have any questions?
Does that include going the basement back up and down there?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Next on the list is Pump Station 4. The city has a sewer pump station at La Bounty and Smith Road, and we've been working to do the design to upgrade that pump station to replace a water line, install a new wet well, new generator, new pumps, controls, telemetry, the whole nine yards there. The permitting's complete. That project's actually going to add on Wednesday, and the bid award will probably come to council on the 18th of May. So during the whole design process, the designers were talking with PSE because we're upgrading the pumps, there's a power surge that happens. So they were going to install, or they called out to install, variable frequency drives, which is basically like a dimmer switch on a light. Instead of having a hard start, they start off slow. After talking with PSE, they decided that they were able to go back to the same old hard start pumps, which actually reduces the cost of the project quite a bit. The variable frequency drives are more expensive, so they were able to do a little bit of a cost savings there. You know, it's assumed you don't really get the cost savings until you bid the project, but we're estimating that save the city anywhere from $10,000 to $30,000. That work is scheduled. It's written into the contract that they'll have to have that done by the 23rd of October. Questions about the pump station? Exciting stuff. Okay. Next on the list is a project that Wendy's managing, and that's a Brown Road culvert. The city has a culvert. It's on the west side of the BNSF railroad crossing on Brown Road. And the rules are now that if we touch a culvert, basically it has to be replaced, so it's fish friendly. Mm-hmm. So that project is designed. It's also going out to add on Wednesday. They'll be installing a box culvert similar to the one that was installed on Main Street as part of the last phase of the Main Street project. Construction, she said, is planned to start earlier mid-June of this year so they can meet their fish window. Do you guys have any questions about that?
I'm assuming it, I apologize. I'm assuming it comes out of the stormwater fund?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And then we've always got stuff in the hopper where work's being designed. That includes the LeBounty Road sewer, which would be replacing the existing sewer on LeBounty between basically the easternmost Hagen entrance on LeBounty to about where LeBounty turns and goes south up by I-5. So that's under design. We're working on the Main Street crack sealing. I need to contact the City of Bellingham. We're hoping to partner with them to get a good price for that work and kind of piggyback on their efforts. And then we're also working on replacing a sewer line on Molloy that's north of Thornton, kind of between Oxford and Thornton. It's a real deep sewer. It's like 21 feet deep at the intersection there. Construction for 2016, we're working on design for pump station 2 and 3 upgrades. Pump station 2 is the one here at the river. The other one's over on Barrett, kind of by the vet office there. And then Washington Street we're working on design for that too. If you remember, we received some TIB money, and we're waiting to hear back from the legislature on the Safe Routes to School money. So that's what we've got.
Person Watson, then Olson.
Are you going to do other crack sealing this year or just focus on Main Street?
That's a good question. Right now, we were just going to pursue Main Street. I guess it kind of depends on that's the project that we have listed on our TBD list. Mm-hmm. So I would think to expand that, if we wanted to use TBD money, we'd have to revise the TBD list, but it's not pretty easy to do.
I'm just wondering because, I mean, there's places all around town that need it. I guess maybe it's a process question. Would we need to just say do citywide crack sealing in order to clarify, or should we?
Probably should, dial it down to a little more detail than that.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to figure out how we can do it so that when the time comes, because we do the TBD list, and then a few months later we kind of figure out where we need to do it based on how the winter was. So I'm just trying to think of an easy way to do it so we can get the money.
Cusperson Olson.
Katie, going back to the house at Vista and Washington, when they fill or put that all back to grade there, are they going to seed it for lawn, or what are we going to?
No, I discussed that with Bone. We decided, what's there as lawn now will remain as lawn. The foundation and basement area, because that'll be under a road eventually, we're going to fill that up with pit run and then cap it off with crushed rock. So it'll be a gravel pad.
It won't be a weed farm.
Yes, it will.
I'm sure that it will not. They wouldn't. No weeds would dare grow.
No.
In that location.
To be determined later.
Yes. Hope springs eternal.
It was decided it would be the easiest way to maintain it.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay, anything else?
I'm sure Greg would like to talk about the project, but that's all I had.
You're going to do the Pioneer Pavilion?
Sure. Yeah, the pavilion, we've given them the notice to proceed. They're kind of mobilizing right now. We're going to be having weekly construction meetings, as we do for most of our projects, and the first construction meeting is going to be next Monday, so kind of stay tuned for how that goes. So far, things are going rather well. For the library, we've been working on the kind of the perpetual door issue, as far as I think I've explained before, but the ADA doors aren't quite working right. Next Tuesday, we're having a meeting with the architects and the contractor and the subcontractors to kind of figure out the best path forward on that. And on the police department, for the carpet replacement, we're still awaiting delivery of the carpet from the factory, and once that comes in, then we'll be scheduling the installation. So I think that's... Do you have any questions on any of those three projects?
No? Okay. Good. Okay, so facilities repair and maintenance update. Welcome, Mr. Westford.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Council. So it's been a while since I've been here and talked to you folks about anything.
Your hair can't fell out.
My hair's been falling out.
It's a very fine haircut, I might add.
Well, the problem was I cut my head today, and my hat was stuck to my head when I got home, so I didn't dare put it back on. That was awesome. All kinds of fun today. So I'll just run down the list of stuff that we talked about at committee. We talked about through the preparing for our budget for 2015. General electric repairs. It was identified that we were missing all kinds of GFCIs around the city in different key locations next to sinks, restrooms, stuff like that. So we've got all that stuff on hand now. It's just a matter of finding the time to install those. It's a pretty simple fix. Go in, pull one out, rewire it, put it back in. So just waiting on some time to get to it, but we have it. The power box at the shop, I don't know if you guys have ever really seen it. We had starlings living in it. It was actually falling off the building at one time. Somebody tied it back to the building with a piece of old fishing wire. And so anyway, we fixed that. Puget Power came out. It's all fixed. It's back attached to the building. Moss treatment, City Hall roof has been done. Pioneer Park restrooms have been done. The guy that's going to do the rest of the roofs is also going to do the Pioneer Park roofs at the same time that he comes back. So he did the Tillicum House, pretty much just kind of, yeah, I'll just do it, I'm here. So that's done, and then he wants to come back and get the cabin. So it was a little more than $400 to do them all instead of just leaving them out. So we just move forward with it. North shelter upgrades. Complete except for our roofing material should be another week out. It's going to match the Pioneer Pavilion roof, that red metal.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you've seen the shelter, but it's actually squared up and standing by itself now. Just to kind of give you an idea of how bad that was, in the southwest corner, once we tied it all together and pulled our straps tight and cabled that thing off with some turnbuckles, we picked that edge up by 11 inches. That's how bad that thing was settled out.
Wow.
So when we originally looked at the roof to re-roof it, we were a little bit nervous because it was so out of square. But once we tightened all that stuff and brought that up 11 inches and turned the roof where it was supposed to be, it's going to be great. So we'll get the metal on there, similar to the pavilion, and it's going to be the same color, so it'll match up real nice. The City Hall maintenance. We'll paint the exterior as soon as our almighty judge picks a winner of the paint contest. We'll find out what color it's going to be, and in July we'll have it painted. So the process will go, they're going to strip the gutters, paint the building, and then put new gutters on the building after we get it done painted.
Oh, lovely.
So it should look a lot better when it's done.
It's not going to be the polka dot that was promised on Facebook?
Well, I don't know. That's up to the judge.
People
have spoken.
Well, we threw it out to the community. We besides Seahawks colors, we didn't get, I think, a lot of real
We got the polka dot.
So then we threw it to our employees, and we actually had a contest starting last Friday that ended today at 4 o'clock. And so I believe we had four or five submissions. The polka dot is included in that, and so probably tomorrow we'll decide on what the paint colors are. On Friday, we to incentivize our employees to break out their crayons or magic markers or paint software program, we said that whatever color scheme was chosen, the employee who won would get an extra vacation day. What they don't know is the winner is going to get 8 hours, and anyone who enters is going to get 4 hours. Anyone who happened to enter, and I guess for those who decided not to enter, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, I guess.
Bummer for you.
Sometimes it does actually pay off to take part, and not that everyone gets a ninth-place ribbon, but we thought it was a good way to kind of give someone some artistic license and also reward our folks for spending a couple moments thinking about their city hall and how the city perceives their public buildings.
So I guess I'm nanny, nanny, woo-woo, because we don't have computers that will Photoshop any of that stuff, so we didn't get to participate.
I had crayons. You could have brought crayons.
Yeah, because the picture would have been worth drawing.
This is a no wine zone.
You're in the wrong
place. You're in the wrong place.
So keep going down the list. The pizza annex, we just had a structural inspection done, waiting for the finalized report. Initially, verbally from the inspector, right away he picked out that building is very susceptible to an earthquake as the bottom is not attached to the top in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So there's no brackets, no hold downs, no straps that attach the foundation to the building. It's just kind of sitting on the concrete.
Okay.
So that was his initial findings, but he will write us a report and kind of go through some of that. We supplied him with a ladder and some saws, and he cut some of the sheetrock off to look at inside the walls. So he should have a pretty good idea of what's going on in there. But his initial response was, we're going to have a problem with an earthquake.
Back into it when you took it, not
really. I thought that would work.
Let's see. Pioneer Pavilion, Greg covered most of that. We did do our 4-inch water tap for the fire line. Mm-hmm. The city crew did. We will finalize our portion of that by running the 4-inch into the building and get it set up for the contractor to put the RPBA device in it and start their work. So we're still working through that with the contractor as far as scheduling goes. The LED retrofit program ended. We are able to kind of talk our way through it a little bit, and we were able to obtain 5 more pieces of the LED lighting under the program, since the program was kind of, you guys are way late, please. So anyway, we got our 5. They'll go at the Bergsma House. There's 2 outside lights that they go on. Will help brighten that whole area up and a little bit more efficient with power. The shop has 2. The decant out behind the treatment plant has 2. And then we had scheduled pump station 2 and 3 for retrofits, but we're going to do that when we remodel the buildings. That was built into the scope of work for the buildings to be upgraded to LED on the outside. Katie covered the Vista House, and I think that was about it. We did add a small remodel type at the PD, just a couple of doors here or there. So we're going to be working in the police department a little bit, get that squared away for their their accreditation. And then what we pushed off through committee, and you know, for those that aren't in the committees that I attend, we kind of set an aggressive schedule and we weren't real clear with the money. So the money that we had set aside wasn't going to cover that aggressive schedule, so there's a couple things that we backed off. Second Avenue Fieldhouse, that was just open to discussion. We still haven't come up with a determination on that building. It's an ongoing kind of discussion of different resources that are available to us versus what's not out there available to us and what we can do in the floodplain and all kinds of different things with that. So I think we're going down the right path as far as using the money that the city has to the best ability that we can. there's been some discussion about some off-site buildings that we may participate in. But so instead of just kind of throwing money at it and knocking it down and guessing from there, we're going to try to come up with a plan and have something down so we can really come with a hard number. The new roof and windows at the Riverwalk restroom, those were pushed off till 2018 by way of inspection. The roof is good. In fact, they gave us 5 years on it. We guessed three, so we're going to try to still replace that in 2018. And now with the community garden and the farmer's market kind of moving locations down to Pioneer Park, the big push to remodel that building isn't necessarily there, although we're going to keep it upgraded, keep it clean for the public to use. But the office space and stuff where we have the storage isn't a big concern right now. And we started working on the fountain today. Still isn't running. We had three guys on it for 8 hours and still couldn't get it running. Replaced two different parts in the pumps. Still didn't run, so we're working on it. It's coming. The new roof at the park restroom, Pioneer Park restroom. While we were having the inspection, one of the roofers that we had out there that we actually took his bid replaced four shingles and we're done. He gave us another 3 to 5 years on the roof. So we're in good shape with that. We got off pretty cheap and it holds water, so we're in good shape with the restroom. The Bergma House electrical upgrades, we'd kind of tabled that for maybe a Metropolitan Parks District vote. If that goes through, we'd really like those folks to have some input or all input into what we're going to do with the Bergma House, whether we're going to keep it, use it for office space, or just kind of eliminate it and maybe build something new. But that should be something that they have a little bit of input on as far as what they want their park district to look like. And that was about it that was on that list for us in 2015. Wow. Any questions?
I can't believe you have no questions. I'm surprised.
My brain is
okay,
hard.
Good job. You must have done a good job of your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Doing a great job.
Yeah. Okay, feed code amendment, Pioneer Pavilion rental rates. Any question on that? It's all in your packet. Do you need any staff reports that flew through committee? No? Okay.
No.
Motion? Councilperson Hansen?
Well, I'm going to move to pass the fee code amendment as presented and reserve the right to make a comment after we get a second.
Second.
Okay. Second by Councilperson Bursch. So it is your floor.
Same thing I said in committee. I believe that that we need to find a way to allow the true nonprofit slash charitable organizations a discount of some sort. I think we can go ahead and get started with this, but a true nonprofit or charitable organization that wants to use that facility is not going to be able to afford what we're charging. And as we look at it in the future and we get requests coming in from these kinds of organizations, and I'm sure we will get requests, and, well, we're a nonprofit or we're charitable, is there a discount? And we'll know what kinds of organizations we're talking about. It'll probably be well after the change of administration in January, but I want you all to remember that as a true community facility, that many times our nonprofits and charitable organizations could use a little helping hand when it comes to renting those facilities. Let's get going on it and then take another look at it in a year or so.
Councilperson Watson?
And I agree. And I don't know if there's some way that staff can do some kind of research to see what other cities have done who have community centers, but, I mean, there's no way the Service Cooperative could afford $500 to have an event. Thank you.
Okay. Great. Any other comments? Okay. Seeing no further discussion, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
6-1.
He's speaking. So the vote is 7-1 with one official non-councilmatic vote.
6-1.
Six.
No, it's 7.
John standing.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Next is mayor report.
Never mind.
Okay, you okay? Got out there? So you'll notice that our deputy clerk is here. Our existing clerk is not here. He's down south. I want to just chat is, and I think maybe the fault lies in me, in the fact that when I became mayor, I wanted to include council in more decisions, include of a more collaborative. And so on staff negotiations and staff salary negotiations, I always included council. I think in this case it did not work. For people that move forward in the future, maybe I want to consider. I probably won't be around for many more negotiations, but I think this process did not work. I've learned, at times I've managed up to 65 employees, and I don't know if I ever had an employee that quit over actual money. And I'm sitting with Greg, and I talked about this. They may have asked for that, but mainly it was their emotion. Did they feel worth? Did they feel that somebody appreciated them? And when they left, it wasn't always money. And so in that process, I think we failed that employee, how we did that process. Hopefully the future can be better. I hope he's coming back from California. I think he's an extremely valuable employee. Hopefully the water's bad or the California food's
bad. What water?
But that process of how we did it, we need to maybe establish something different. Because I don't think any of you intended to give the impression that, you know, there was a personality thing, but it came across as a personality thing. So that's all we have. I hope we can correct that in the future. Council reports. Councilperson Goodrich.
At the fire district meeting that we had, they had a good presentation by the firefighters on their projects, and one of them was a history of the fire district. And I've talked to Administrator Young and to see if we can get that firefighter to come and do a presentation here. I talked to Chief Russell this past week about it, and he said that firefighter and some other folks are doing some more tweaking and new documentation that they've found. They even found some of the old fire engines that have been sold that are still in service and things. And so we're probably going to have the presentation in October-ish when the high school kids are back, and it would be a little bit more beneficial than doing it during the summer when it's just the seven of us. So,
John.
Yeah. So look forward to that coming probably in the fall.
Councilor Ingram?
Well, I hate funerals, and I hate memorial services almost as much as real official funerals, but we attended the service for Mike Cole, and I was incredibly impressed with his family. I have never seen a family more comfortable with losing a father and a husband. And as the one daughter said, we've had some practice at this because he had other near-death experiences over the years, so they were ready. They were prepared. His widow gave one of the most incredible talks I've ever heard at any service anywhere. She was totally upbeat. She choked up a couple of times, as did the daughters, but they just basically told the story of his life. And it was really amazing listening to the daughters telling what it was like to grow up with Mike. And it was just like, really? And then, of course, our police chief completely brought the house down.
In a good way.
they asked him to say a few words, and he walked up to the podium and stood there and bent down as he has to do to reach the microphone, and he says, "I'm here to talk about Mike's criminal record."
Things just fell apart.
But it was a very, very emotional service, but it was very upscale, upbeat, and I'm very glad that we went. The only thing that I was telling Mel earlier, I was just totally, completely blown away. There was nobody there from the library. Not a single person from the library or the Friends of the Library. Nobody. And as much work as he put in on that facility and how much he loved that facility, I cannot believe that nobody from the library could take a couple of hours on a Saturday afternoon and come down and pay his respects to the family. It's just me. You know, don't anybody show up for mine, because there's not going to be one.
Let's put some verse.
My Ferndale Public Market is moving right along in its planning. Opening day is June the 7th, and it's at the new Pavilion Boys and Girls Club field in between those two buildings. And we're getting lots of vendors signing up. And we approached the nonprofits recently to see if they would be interested in having a table at no cost to them to promote their organization. In return, we're asking them to plan a kid-friendly activity. And the response has been really good with the nonprofits. I'm excited.
Councilor Watson?
I was at Mike's funeral, and I was representing the Friends. And I apologize, I had to leave early.
Well, you guys had a tight schedule.
And just so everyone knows, they're going to put up a special plaque for Mike right where the time capsule is. So they're going to put a plaque up on the wall explaining everything he did for the library and the time capsule. And the Friends of the Ferndale Library are going to pay for that plaque.
That's
so
excellent.
It's, yeah. It's just a lot of people in their 70s and 80s who just couldn't be there.
Yeah.
I went to the Lummi Indian Business Council Awards today, and Ferndale did very well. Lummi were very generous with us. I don't know if you've seen, but that sign they want to put at the high school, I believe the Lummi are going to pay for the whole thing. That's the way the article read in the Discover. So the Service Cooperative got some money. Friends of the Ferndale Library got money. Several other groups in Ferndale got money. So it was a good day for us.
Anything else from Council? Any other reports? Okay, moving on to department reports. Finance Director?
Just one item. The auditors are doing their annual audit. They've come and gone. There'll be an exit conference scheduled in May. Auditors will directly invite you via email.
Okay.
City Administrator / Public Works Director?
Oh, doing okay.
Okay, our Development Director is gone. Deputy Clerk?
Nothing.
Police Department? Nothing. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Councilor Ingham, second by Councilor Goodrich. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.